This morning, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, for our gospel this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And our subject this morning is the wake up call and how we can get this out of this text and we go through. And if we look at this text, it's talking about somebody sleeping and another calling the person out of sleep. And that's the general understanding, I mean, you can the simple one we can have from this. But you can see also that they say the Christ shall give thee light. So that means there's more to it than just general understanding, I mean, a simple understanding we can have of it. But what this sleeper here, he said that wherefore he says, Awake, thou that sleepest. It signals somebody sleeping, and he has not finished his sleeping. I mean, he couldn't complete all this, and then he has to awake to something, to attend to some business, to attend to something important. Because you don't wake somebody up if it is not necessary, if somebody is resting. You know, sleep is a good thing, it's healthy. And God who created us, and when man sinned, when labors became tedious, man has to rest. Man cannot be unlike the angels who go on and on and on. So this is somebody sleeping. So it seems that this sleeper is sleeping intentionally, or he has slept and something is going to happen. He has, and he has been asked also to wake up. So he said that, wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The air can say, you see, in some kind of panel, and obey, you say, sorry, a friend, in some kind, that kind of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, which I say, I say, near what done no unsorry, now. On free a womb like Christo Bemano Kanea. Yeah, yeah, cause I kinda say no and yes, we'll be at a canyon no woman, the share the cat or no send a Christo Amano and high in the chance I check your movie bring out see a share na yeah credit here. Then we can say and that idea and when here be bring na nipa be bring nipa a canipa say ubra or sauda now do a home. Now, the woman, Nipa, what I say, will be a one day we in Yanano. If you say, Bia, in Yanano, what about baby B? And I say, in Yanano, if you say, Bia, BB, hey, I have a ton. Okay, so let's look at generally what happens to, I mean, if something is going to happen to someone, or let's put it this way, like, when people sleep, or when we sleep, how insensible we are to what things. I'll just call out some few things before we go deep into it. Somebody who is sleeping is insensible of the dangers around him. There could be armed robbers in the room. They have broken the window. They have entered the room. He's sleeping. They might have been pointed a gun on his head. He's sleeping. Or you can be sleeping and there's a flood in the area. And because you don't even know, but then realize the waters are in your room. Have you even experienced this kind of event before? Where I used to live some time ago, we were sleeping though it was raining. We knew that it was raining. We slept. Then one among us woke up. Said, "There's water in the room." Then we all wake up. When we opened the door, the room was filled with water. We were sleeping, and by then realized all our valuable things were already soaked up in the water. But if we were not sleeping, we could have actually, I think the water would have come inside, but we would have at least put our valuable things in place before the water would have come inside. So this tells us that when sleep comes, you go to the land of forgetfulness. Your mind is off, you are all over. And also, there was an incident in 1 Kings chapter 3. You remember when Solomon was brought to the throne? There was two men who brought their dispute. One of them said that the other woman is claiming that her daughter, her child is hers because The other woman slept, and she slept over her daughter, his son, his child, her child, and the child died. And I think, so what was happening that this woman could sleep? The child could be crying when she was sleeping on her. She couldn't what? Have time to listen because sleeping has soothed her consciousness. Your own child crying. And it was a real account. And I just recently I read something in the news that in the US, a lady slept. When she woke up, their daughter was dead, and they took her to court. But the court was deliberate how they are going to judge the case. They would say, oh, she didn't take care of the child and she died. Or whatever. But it's like she sleep. If she was not sleeping, she could have what? See what would have happened to the child and maybe have what done something to save her his or her case. Also, let me also bother you about another incident. Like a lot of accidents are happening, and sometimes you say the driver was sleeping. You see, the driver was sleeping, and then the accident happens. And oh, some of us who are driving, I'm sure sometimes it happens to us. You sleep off, you realize your car is going off, then you have to quickly put yourself into a good condition. You see that sleep disengages all consciousness. It makes people unable to do things for themselves or for others. Okay, so even when somebody who likes food so much, if there's his favorite food is being set before him, and he's sleeping, he can't even smell. He might be hungry, and air will be filling his stomach, yet he can't. Because what happens? The senses. Though he has the sense, he smells, and he's breathing, yet he can't have the smell of the best, food that has been set before him. So you see that sleep is good, but you see, when you sleep, you see how many things that, happens around you, or you have to attend to that you can't attend to. So then you see that the sleeper's eyes are closed to danger, the nose cannot distinguish smell, the ears are dulled, all senses are locked up by the power of sleep, forgetfulness to the things of his best interest, and unconsciousness have taken hold of him. So you see that when we sleep, this is what has happened. So you see that when you read it into the text, it gives you something that why this sleeper is being called to awake. So now we come to our major point. Who does this sleeper represent? It represents somebody who is unsaved, living after death, a carnal person, though his soul is spiritually dead and in danger of slipping to eternal death soon, yet he sees not. The evil temptations are set before him. He can't see the other temptations. He just embraces all those temptations and continues and delights in those temptations. He's sleeping spiritually. Yes, you hear, he's alive to physical things. He's sleeping spiritually. When things of the spirit are sent before, he can see. Temptation to sin. Oh, he easily falls into it. And he cannot even see. He lives in death, yet he knows not that he lives in death. How many people who are sinners, and we know that, but the Bible says that to be carnally minded is death. To live according to the flesh, to live by my personal mind and what I know as without any thought of God, by what I think is right, is death. Because in Romans, I said that to be carnally minded is death. So such a person, so the death and the sleep is compared to somebody who is living alive, and yes, spiritually, he's not living to God. So in short, we say it's what? It's a spiritual what? Death. Such person, he cares not what the Bible says about condition of all men. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He hears it, and it moves him not. He cannot, because nothing moves him. It's nothing. It's like you set gold before a dog. What will he do with it? What will he do with it? The hell can he say, sir, and then will be at the church in Muyama and Yoma be praised, will be at Wadano, Umwa de Bibi, Behano Crown in Jaya, Nedia, I dare be our pay, be a new cry, the two animal on tea, how are you? And the Sansu car say, we grab or drive not that, go to an accident, and in Yano, and my express I would die. And die at the end of the moment, you might be a whole one. Unya, one queen, yourself, which me, I am. And because of whining, the power, what they shed the air can one. It's in the power, I will be a or transom who never pay. Ah, Unya, ne honamu enyama pɛ na odi akyire de sunsumu no wewu wewu sɛ wo ne nyame ne nkita ho di bia bɔne kraid bɔne abɛto n'anim ɛtwe no akɔ sɛ yɛ mu ɔni ho adwen bia ɛne dɛmpo sɛ yɛde yɛde asade no aba n'anim and then odi akyire na wayɛ dɛ ɔkɔ sɛ ne ho ne yɛka sɛ bible so kyerɛ sɛ wo a wotena sɛ honam bible kyerɛ sɛ wowu wowu ɔwu no sɛ sunsumu no wowu ne yɛka sɛ saa ɛwuo no nipa ɔwu ne wuo no nipa a wada no ne tibia kyerɛ sɛ obi a sunsumu no wowu ɔnte hwee mfi nyame hɔ ne yɛka sɛ bible kora ka fa sɛ nipa a wowiase nyaa yɛ bɔne na ɛwuo afa yɛ nyinaa so because of ɛfi sɛ bɔne nti koraa no a ɛmfa no ho sunsun mu wo enisu wo ɛda wo odi onimọ anisẹ ọtena ase na wayi dẹ wagye n'ani esi saa nipa na wayi dẹ wada no enyoma se ehunhia se enya ɛnfa no ho he may be active in worldly matters and eager of for worldly things but he has no willingness for the time of spiritual concerns ewiase mu nneɛma ɔyɛ ka football n'odi akyire yɛka yɛnkɔ party n'odi akyire yɛka yɛnkɔ eyi n'odi akyire yɛka yɛnkɔ edwuma n'odi akyire na emum no. The sunsun mu nneɛma nneɛma yɛ fa ne kra ho deɛ dabi yɛ ka kora a ayɛ sɛ wode ahamwato ahamwato nsuom ɛdeda ani ntumi nkɔhyɛm ɛnyɛ no hwee. The God's wrath is hanging upon his head. You know that the Bible tells us that in John chapter 12 verse 36 that he that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned, and those who will not believe on him are condemned already. So while I live today and I have not committed my life to Christ, I have not given up my life to him to save me, to wash me from my sins, and to give me his life, which is spiritual life, I'm dead. And I'm condemned. The wrath of God is hanging upon me. And yet, he hears it and removes me not. And it's nothing to him. Which of us, if we are told that, hey, where you are going, there's a big hole there, there's a fire there, will you ever venture? Oh, no, I'll turn. But when it comes to spiritual matters, such person who will turn from that physical fire will never turn from this spiritual danger he's falling into. The laws of God, the commandment of God, he has been told. Everyone has broken it. Everybody is a transgressor of God's law. We break one here, we break the other way here, we try to obey this, we try to, and then we disobey that one. And he never moves him. The Bible tells us that we have all broken the law of God, and that God's anger is hanging upon us. He goes on heedless along the steps. Nothing moves him. And then, he's not far from eternal fire. Those who live in the flesh and sin continuously with their life, they are not far from eternal death. Yes, Christ might come at any time, but death also can snatch us from this world anytime. And when we are snatched out of this world, immediately we fall into eternal damnation, and such is the state of the one sleeping. He has put his senses off. He doesn't want to hear anything. And not only is he not sensible to even the dangers, he's also not having any clue of the kindness and love of God to him. How that the voice of God is appealing to him day after day when he hears the word of God through the gospel, that to come to Christ, to embrace the life that is in Christ. Day after day, he hears it and just moves around his ear. God is always appealing that he has sent his only begotten son. Do you remember when John the Baptist was baptized in John chapter 2? And immediately he saw Christ come. He said, look, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. How many of the disciples followed Jesus Christ? There were many people around. You see, many people around were just, like spectators. They were sleeping off spiritually. It should have been that all of them should have gone to follow Christ. But how many of them went to follow Jesus Christ? So you see, the love of God is manifested unto us. The unsearchable riches of Christ is placed within our reach. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? In the gospel. And nyomwa esun wo Jesus Christo mu, e wonse mpani mu, a ye kan kwagye bonifache, ahotie, ene mesu me betumi atrasi ama yaso nyame ni, e wonse mpani mu. E wonse mu e kan de bia mu, but enya hwe ma no. This is sleeping in such a state. Like, do you remember there was a man with withered hand, and Jesus Christ told him, stretch out your hand. What did he do? Immediately he heard it, he stretched it off. How can I know that Christ will save me? Unless you believe. this person gave an illustration. He said that there was a boy in a building, there was fire, and there was a strong man who came. He stood down there. He told the young boy, throw yourself and come. And he said that if the boy thinks that, oh, okay, I've seen the person standing there, I'm in danger, but I don't think he can hold me up. But how do you know unless you threw yourself to the person? So the fact is that, how do you know Christ will save you? And Christ is God. He can never lie. You and God, you and Christ, who is truthful? You are holding back, or Christ, who is telling you that? You see, all men are liars. Only God is true. So unless you stretch forth yourself and throw yourself unto Christ, you are sleeping. You can have the gospel message, and you can even talk about it. You can rattle it unless you have trusted yourself unto Christ. See, this person also give another thing about faith. How do we believe? See, faith has three things. The knowledge, you have to understand, you have to hear something, which is the word of God, the gospel. And another thing, you have to also believe that what you are hearing is true. And still you are not end with faith. After hearing these two things, unless you put yourself in it and you rest yourself in it, you are not having any faith. So many people are having the word of faith, the gospel in their mind, believe in their mind, but they've also, okay, it's good. Christ came to die for us. It's in their mind. They can rattle it. But have they really rested their hopes on it, that's the only way for salvation? That's, unless you rest yourself in it, there's no salvation. So see that he cannot stretch forth. He's what? Incapable. He has no faith to lay hold on such promise. The voice of Christ, the voice of the Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Christ said, I hang on the cross to shed my blood to save you from your sin. So that guilty sinners who stand at the stroke of God's judgment, when they come to him, his blood washes away their judgment, and there's punishment that was washed away. He cannot look up. Why? The eyes are closed. He's sleeping. How can a sleeping person look up? He's still sleeping. Christ is calling thee after, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. He has physical eyes to see things around him, but he cannot see Christ because he has no faith to do so. He's empty of spiritual life, but hurries not to drink of the waters from Christ, who is the fountain of living waters. He's asleep, and feels not, sees not, hears not, knows not these precious things of Christ. Remember the woman in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. When immediately she knew that Christ has something better to offer her than the water she's going after, she said, give me this water. Though her understanding was not even complete, but she said, give me this water. But you and I, who are sitting here, those of us who have not come to Christ, have we ever sought after, cry after Christ that he should give you that life? That is the substance of being a Christian. I can be in church, I can be everywhere, I can claim, I can learn the whole Bible and even debate about it until I have my life in Christ, and then he has washed me from my sin. And he has saved me and placed his spiritual life within me. I have no Christianity. It's fake. It's nothing. So many people, you see, going to church. You see, Sunday, we are going to church. But how many of them have Christ in them? Such person is empty of spiritual things, and yet is full of strong feelings with respect to the things of the world, possession and honors. He is the one who can see, he seeks to claim everything. He wants to, work so hard to claim everything in the world. Or he wants to do something to have the greatest wisdom of the world, so that you see, he is going. This person is going. But he careless. He cares about dignities of life. Such is life without Christ. He may think he finds happiness in the forgetfulness of God, and may be self-deceived. He may even form a form of salvation in his own mind. Many people have a form of salvation in their own mind, not according to the Bible. Yes, they have the taught us have said that Christ came to die for us and believe, and that is it. And I remember I was speaking to somebody, and he told me that the common thing is that, oh yes, the person has to just listen to Christ and believe on him, and that's it. And then he's a Christian. We are all Christians. No, that's not the fact. Do you really have Christ? Or is it that you have just the salvation message in your head? He may think that he will now give his mind to earthly things and then give God a lip service. Oh, day after day, what runs through his mind and his heart is all about himself, all about his business, his school, his children, his family. Christ is up. And then on Sunday, he comes to church and sing and listen to some sermon. I'm a Christian. That's not. That is sleeping in, spiritual, that you are sleeping. Whoever is like that. God doesn't need a lip service. He needs a heart service. So whenever we give our lip service, our heart is real far away from him. He never takes it. We admire ourselves and our heart, and then we care less about God. Such people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The power is what Christ gives us. The power is the spiritual life. So you see that such people, they may be in the church, they got their attention, because they have not really experienced the power of Christian religion, they make a mockery of true godliness. They make a mockery of those who seem to be more careful with God and things of God. That such a person is so self-deceived, yet such person, because he goes to church and he doesn't do extreme things like, oh, I'm not a drunkard, I don't prostitute, I don't do this, he may say, oh, I'm better than others. Like the Pharisee, he said that, I'm not like this other man. And yet he himself does not have what it takes to be a true Christian. Yet, because he's in the church, sometimes he has been baptized, or sometimes he pays a tithe, he contributes, or maybe even involved in church ministry, he said that, I'm a Christian. Oh, you know, these people, I mean, they can't even come to church. When they come, they're even shameful. I mean, I'm able to go to church and pray. God knows me. No, that's nothing. Unless you give yourself to Christ. So some people, he does good. And he thinks his goodness is good. Some people can even call him, this nipa way there. Or, nipa way there. Or, and then they're having a swollen heart. But yet, the substance of what it takes to be a Christian is not there. So he may flatter himself that he's happy now in this fake religion that he has, and that he has, though he's separated from God, the love of God, and he's happy now, and that when the life to come, he hears about heaven, I will be in heaven, after all, I am serving God. That's what he thinks. But like the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, immediately, finally, he's brought to his senses. How is he brought to his senses? Not the loving appeals of Christ to the gospel to wake him up, but eternal fire in hell, in death, when his eyes are open. You see, when those who are sleeping in this life, their eyes will open. If they continue to, their eyes will open when they go off to the other side of the world. And then they will see really what actually they have missed. And then they'll begin to say, hey, then I was a happy person. I was self-deceived. And then it was too late. Life is gone. The hour of God's mercy is no more. He has been taken out of this world. And ask yourself, is it not reasonable to judge yourself unworthy and come to Christ as a sinner even now than to wait when at that judgment day Christ will tell you, I never knew you? When there is no time for correction. The Ekani said, Sani pay do yesi we wada ma onim de ekoso de. Ne ka se, na mum no ewiase nyoma de onda wo. Oyo bi e ka se o yankwa ha o de kire adwuma we no de kire. Enyoma e fa na gushia ho, enyoma e fa na bra bra. En no bi e ho pa, eno na o de kire. Ne ka se bu o kura Sani pay. O de asum bi a chenye trim. O kwa sorry abi abo ne su o tun ntu tu so du. O ye nyoma obi a otumi o tun kwa sha bi a asum bi wa sorry mu bi a ku bi ewo. Ne mum no odinano keke ni nyame aye na kuma mu no ono ani nyoma oyi na eyi na ye ona kuma mu ofisa oyi papa pa ofisa obi obi ehun se nipa we de onye mbasabasa ono mu nsa ombo edwaman osisi obi ombo ndi obi atin ofisa o eno anu dabi san nyoma we nyia e fe se nyoma papa enye papa onyame ni de yakobo hwehwe pe ni se odo ho be ma Kristo odi ne moja ofu obo ne ho na wa twati ho ofi obo ne ho eno na ohwehwe na yesu ama nkwa fofo. And there's a sign for which me, I was so sad. What that done, huh? No, no, sir. But that will know I'll be able to be in the sense. You can in Lazarus, you know. But some gem will know, say, hey, son, I'm a dad, I'm home. Sonny, pay that time, I'm never bearded. In raping, there's no second chance when we die out of this world. As I always say, it is appointed unto man who wants to die. After death, there's judgment. And if you and I ought to be sensible about our spiritual state, this should be our focal thought. The judgment after death. What is my state? Okay. So, in Isaiah chapter 29 verse 8, he described such a state of a person. So it shall, that person, when he's sleeping, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he waketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he waketh up, and behold, his faint, and his soul hath appetite. He shall, so shall the multitude of all the nations do that fight against Mount Zion, that fight against the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who not come to Christ, it's like they are dreaming. Because all that they have in this is a dream. The things of this world is like a bubble. Have you seen when you make a bubble with soap? It's so, the moment it comes to bright, then it bursts. You see, it starts nicely, immediately it's able to catch the colors, and you see it's very nice, then it bursts off. That's how the world things are. When you put a rest on them, immediately we think we are settled and we are happy. Then we are told we are fools. Death will come and snatch us away. And where will we stand? See, his hopes were just phantom dreams, founding on self-delusion and ending in bitterness and lasting disappointment. Such state is the sad state of a person. So to end in disappointment, whoever will rest his hopes on this world, on the possession and honors and things to enjoy for himself in this world, at end day, he will regret. Today, you don't regret because you are happy, you have your simple life to live. But ask yourself, how many years have you got to live? Those who came before us, where are they? I'm sure years ago when vehicles decided to make automobile with engine, those who had it first were the most enjoyable people ever at that time. But where are they? And where be the car that they had today? It has been trashed off. So the thing that we cherish today, tomorrow, it will be nothing. So that it teaches us that we shouldn't put our heart on them. What we cherish today, even our children, one day they will kick against it. Oh, my, it's for my father and I don't need it again. But let your put even take it. So this general describes all unsaved sinners, in particular, anyone here. If you are unable to sense the danger of your sin, then you are sleeping spiritually. This is to all of us here. If I don't sense my danger of sin, I don't see myself as a sinner, I'm sleeping. It is only a sleeping person who can say that I'm not a sinner. Then you deceive yourself. Everybody is a sinner. Our heart even tells us. Our evil thought that comes to our mind even tells us. I dream one year by a dream. A buffoon, a conobone, and a tie, and a question will be able to check us on anybody. Everybody has a share of this evil thought and evil thing. And it's a stamp and a seal on our mind that we are all sinners. And since we are all sinners, we are all guilty before God. And one day we will be judged. Okay, so whoever does not have this thing and thinking about it, then he's sleeping. If you have not been affected by a sense of your guilt, of your sin, and the dependence of God's mercy in Christ to save you, you are sleeping. If you have not seen yourself as a sinner and also seen yourself that, oh, it is Christ alone that can deliver me from sin and from the judgment to come and from God's, anger, then you are sleeping. You are sleeping. You are insensible to something which is so important to your life. And also, the frequency of what? Sinful desires. You see, sin grows in us. When we are children, but when we grow, we begin to adapt to stronger sins, which become addicted to our life. Some will be addicted to some kind of sins. They can never get rid of them unless they come to Christ. We can guess, some people can be addicted to some sins. Yes, by some things they can get rid of them. But there are some sins you can never get rid of them when they get hold of you. And all of us are liable to some of those things. We can never totally get rid of ourselves. And even when we get rid of that, we are still sinning because the heart is there, the evil thought, the hatred, the anger, and that one there, it comes to everyone. If you are indifferent under God's warning, under God's word, the judgment to come, if you see that it's not about you. Oh, yes, God is going to judge the world and sinners, but it's not about me. Oh, me, I'm a special person. God knows that me, I love him. I do good, and over for God, he loves. Many people think like that. No. If you don't think about this and consider it your case and see where you stand, you are sleeping. You are tickling yourself. So how can this sleeper be brought to life? Well, our verse says that, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. How can they arise from the sleep? You see, the one thing is that the Bible teaches that he has to awake, but he also gives us how that this person can awake from sleep. It's only the Bible that teaches us that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The gospel you are hearing about Christ's death on the cross and his shed blood. Yes, you are sleeping, but you hear this. How is it going to affect you? The sleeper must hear the gospel. He must awake through Christ. It is by faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection alone, that the sleeping soul is brought to know the realities of his lost, sinful state. They need to rise and trust himself on Christ for salvation. It is by this, I said that, the knowledge. Here, this faith, which is knowing, assenting, and trusting yourself on Christ, is a work, this work is a gift from God. How do I seek it? You have to ask God. I'm sure everyone here prays. I mean, what do you pray for? Have you ever prayed for your soul? Have you ever prayed that, Lord, yes, I'm a sinner, but I don't know what to do about it. And yet I've heard that Christ came to die for sinners. Will you save me? Have you ever prayed? Have you ever asked him? And he gives it, God gives it freely to his, by his Holy Spirit, to those who sincerely ask him. Yes, we are sinners, we can't do anything about it. But when I ask, then I can receive it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, he said that, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. It shall be opened. You see that? You have to ask. Yes, you are dead, and you think about only worldly things. Yes, you have. There's a means. It's by prayer. Remember the thief on the cross. What did he? He was condemned to that. What did he say? Lord, remember me when you go to paradise. And he meant it from his heart. He was dying. If we could see our cases like that man on the cross. But we think sometimes we have life, ours is better than him. We are no better than him. He was slipping to death. We are also slipping day by day to death. His case is no different. He said, Lord, remember me when you come to paradise. Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So immediately you do it faithfully and trust in Christ. Christ can never lie. Many people are not saved because they are not sincere. Because it's a promise. You tell God, you have said it, and I believe it. It's a promise. And God, who promises, will fulfill it. So I have a simple set to break this thing down for us to hear. So to be awakening from spiritual sleep implies that you might be convicted of your sins, a sense of its danger. This, as I said, no man can naturally do. So you must pray to God for help. You must first send, that he must first send the Holy Spirit, who only can work in your heart and grant you faith to believe. You see, sometimes we think of repentance. Oh, I have to repent. I'm telling you, true repentance is a gift from God. All the repentance that those who have not received the gift of God have are repentance or are self-pities. Until God gives you the true repentance, you can never repent unto salvation. You only see your sin and will it. But it's God who has to place that gift in your heart. And you see that, yes, I've sinned and I'm willing it, but I have to come to Christ. So those who are crying, some people cry over their sin, oh, and this and that. And yet they are not saved because they are repenting to themselves, not unto Christ. When you repent and you look up to Christ, knowing that you have sinned against God, God will definitely listen to you. That you must, I mean, as I'm continuing what I'm saying, you must know that you are a sinner and guilty before the Most Holy God, who is the moral governor and judge of the universe, whose holy law you have offended in thoughts, in desires, in action. You see, our constitution, most of the time, it talks about sin, when it talks about what the act that has been done. Because sometimes you don't know what is in the mind of the one who did it, unless maybe the actions will show. But God's law judges our thoughts, the desires, what we say, and also what we do. So you see, we combine all, we see we are guilty before him. And you must repent from your sin and turn to God. This is another thing that I just said it. Repentance is, yes, you have repented, but you have to resolve to turn back. Turning back to where? To God. You don't repent and turn from it and just hang around. No. Okay, I'm going to this room. I'm not going there again. Okay, let me just. No. True repentance is, I'm going to destruction. My sins are destroying me. I'm going to hell. God is standing here calling me. The prodigal son, when he repented, where did he go? He went to his father's house. I will go back to my father. Yes, when you were a sinner, you're not a child of God, but God created you. And he is calling you to come for you to be his son. So what do? I repent and turn myself. I leave my sin and come back to the Father who is calling. Because he's the one calling. Say, awake. He's the one calling. If you are sleeping and somebody comes to awake you, do you wake up and move to? It could be that when you are moving, there's danger. So you are awake, look at the person, move to him, and he tells you what he wants to tell you before whatever you do. So it's the same thing. God is calling, awake, thou that sleepest. So whom do you turn to? You turn to God, who is calling you. And how do you turn? That's what I've explained. By faith in Christ. Turn to God. When you turn, he gives you the way. But through Christ, you're able to come to him. He'll show you, oh, take this route so that you don't fall into sin again. Don't fall into judgment. You come to me. So, when you have done that, you trust yourself on the promise that Christ will give you light. He said, there's a promise there. Though I'll give a little bit of explanation when we go on at the last end. He will give you light. See, there's a promise. He will give you light. That this person was sleeping in darkness. This person in darkness is sin. Light is righteousness and truth in God, in Christ Jesus. This person was sleeping in darkness. So, he said, turn, awake, so that Christ will give you light. He will give you his light of life. So, which means that Christ will give you faith to perceive the realities of what God has promised. His justification from the punishment of sin, sanctification from the filth of sin, preservation from the destruction of sin, and its judgment. All these things are included in that. The light will take you out from all these things. And also, how, when he has saved you, how does he keep you? Also, the knowledge, holiness, comfort, and assisting you with his own grace, and refreshing your mind with joy and peace while you are on this earth, and the reward of eternal life in glory. This is all part of the promise. This is, he doesn't just save you and keep you, and he gives you what it takes to preserve you here, so that you become his child and live on, preserved in him. That is why people who say that when somebody becomes a child of God, he goes back again. So how many times can you become a child of God and a child of Satan again? We are born into this world once, we are born again once. It's either once or never. Either you are born again or never. Whoever thinks that you are born again and lose it, and born again and lose it, then you are never born again. When I'm born into, are we born to this world twice? No. We are born to this world once, and also we are born to Christ once. So you see that it's just straight away. So he gives you what grace, the strength to keep you, to be his servant, to worship him, to serve him, and also the hope of eternal life that is in, I mean, you will have it in the future. So ask yourself, what is the state of your soul? Is it sleeping or is it alive in Christ? If God should require it any moment, are you willing to stand in judgment? This is a question. Whoever is sleeping in sin or is sleeping should ask himself, can you stand in his sight whose eyes are pure, purer than the pure to behold iniquity? God's eyes are so pure. He Bible says, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity? He can't see a spot of sin. So how can I say that I'm a servant, I'm his child? Why entertain myself in sin? Why I have not repented of my sin? Why I have not had the dress, the wedding? I mean, Christ gave a parable, a wedding guest, and at the time of the wedding, the feast, the master of the feast spotted somebody wearing a different dress, and he told him, asked him, why are you not having a wedding dress? And he was damned, found it. And he said that, take him out from here. It's not the same thing. When we appear before God without the righteousness of Christ, he will not even hear our prayers. The prayers are sin unto him. Everything about him, about us, is sinful. The only prayer that God hears when a sinner comes to him to confess and to ask of him the grace to believe on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see, we are just strangers and pilgrims on earth. We are like the creatures of a day. Soon we shall fly off to a state that is unchanging. And where do we want to be? Do we want to be where we will enjoy God forever with the holy people who have lived before us, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah and others, Paul and others? Or we want to fall in with the devil, the deceiver, the one who deceived our first parents and is always chasing after our lives with sin, chasing us with temptations so that we will sin against God more and more? Do we want to be part with him in his destruction? No. we should let him be ashamed and embrace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that he rules our lives while we live on this earth, so that in the ages to come, we may have that glory which is left for us. So the word of God to a sleeper is what? To awake unto salvation. Wake to the salvation of Christ from the darkness of unbelief, and Christ shall give you the light of salvation. You must awake, for God is calling. You must take off yourself from the chain and the bundle, and the captivity of sin. You must judge yourself unworthy now, and judge yourself as a sinner, and come to Christ. He will give you light, he will give you salvation, and then you are free. You are free from the chain of sin. Though sin will come, it will not be delightful to you again. Yes, temptations will come, it will not be delightful to you again. You see how sinful darkness sin is. So the promise is what? You think about the promise. Christ shall give you light. Does God owe us anything to tie himself to come and awake us? No. It's out of his pure love. It's a glorious thought to think that Almighty God should think about me to give me his word to wake me up for my state. You see, it has pleased him to bind himself with his promise that awake and Christ will give you light. It's a promise, and he has bound himself with that. Why should God bind himself to us? It is by his own will and purpose. He can decide not to even mind us, for us to destroy. I always give it this analogy, and I always continue to use it. The angels that fell and men, we are all standing in the same grounds. And God has left the beauties, the angels that are better than us, and have come to give us his grace. And we spurn and what? We slight it. He says, if you even now awake from your sleep and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. Light of what? Everlasting life. He said that in him was life, and life was the light of men. The source of spiritual life is in Christ. Even a source of temporal life. But yet, it's temporal, so God doesn't even regard it. He just throw it away, sprinkle it. But true life is in Christ. And that is what Christ came to this world to give. There are so much deception that, Christ came to give us life, to live in this world, to live in prosperity, and to enjoy life. It's total false. Christ came to offer him. If it were to be for us to have the worldly things and to enjoy them, why should Christ leave his glory and come and die? No, if you think through it doesn't make sense. So, God is calling, and that through his word, you must hear and awake. You must awake through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must awake because God is calling. And as I've said, it's a pure love. If you are sleeping in danger and somebody comes to call you, you run to the person. That's not what we do. But God is calling us day after day. We hear the gospel. We hear that Christ has come to die. Repent and believe on him. Forsake your sin. Leave it. Hate it. But no, we go on with our ways. We go on. We care less. Even when we have come face to face with danger, sometimes people have come to the face of death and they have been relieved from it. And they say, in fact, today I'm going to give myself to Christ. But tomorrow, one day, two days, three, they forget about it and move on with their own personal life. They even continue to sin more. Is it not people who are giving themselves to the judgment of God? They are just preparing themselves for judgment. So may the Lord help us and grant grace that everyone who is sleeping, in spiritual sleeping, will hear the voice of Christ to awake and see him hanging on the cross, and because of his sin that he died, because of our sin that he came to die, and that to him, when we go, he will never turn us away. He will forgive us our sins, wash us, and grant us his righteousness, so that we can become God's children and live happily. So, let me read my verse again, and I'll close. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.